Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Monday with Brian Sexton, Jaguars great Tony Baselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Baptist Health System and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
All right, here we go. 2 hours, Jaguars Monday from the HananiahAutos.com studio inside Everbank Field. Brian Sexton along with Pete Prisco from CBSSports.com. Tony Baselli alongside as well. Here's our big three, whatever it might be this evening. Number one, victory Monday for the Jags. Can they keep it going? Do they want to?
There's that angle.
We're not going to get there.
You know, I'm actually starting to change my tune a little bit.
Yeah, come to the right side, Pete.
I'll bring you back. Number two, the offense. Can you get on a winning skate? Can you score 13 points and win, even with the schedule the Jaguars have the rest of the way? And then the final one, and this really speaks to the National Football League as a whole, are there any great teams out there? And that is our big three. So let's start with the fact that the Jaguars have won again. They went into Houston, and they beat the number one defense.
I got a question.
Yeah.
I'm shocked that you didn't want to make the big three. Should we bench Henny and put Gabbard in? Because that's typically what your mantra.
You were on that today hard, too.
Oh, Twitter was like unbelievable.
Yeah, he was
hard
on that today.
I'm surprised you didn't make that the big three. I didn't start it.
It's your big one.
I didn't start
every
it.
Week. It is your it. One topic
oh,
that
for
you want to talk about.
Sake, I brought it up after the Titans game 3 weeks ago.
Do you have stock in Gabbard? Is that what you're trying to do? You got money invested?
Hope you didn't have stock in Arian Foster.
Let me point something out here today. I was asked the question on Twitter, do I still want to see him? And the answer was yes, because I had an opinion based on the fact that I wanted to see him one more time. I didn't start campaigning on this today. I did not. It was brought up to my attention. Do you still want to see him?
Pete?
I saw a lot of activity on Twitter today.
I was arguing with people. And by the way, if I argued for 24 hours straight, I wouldn't even come close to the number of tweets you guys have.
That's true. I am. By the way, I guess those guys were telling me I'm ranked fourth in the worst Twitter accounts. They're having a bracket. I'm the fourth seed. But you know what? It's not so bad. Gene Fournette's a second seed.
So here's the last thing. Here's the last thing I'll say. That Chad played pretty well yesterday, but they scored 13 points for God's sake. So what about it? Says, well, you can't change anything here because the schedule sets up for you. You get Cleveland on Sunday. They're not playing very well. You get Houston, and by all accounts, Case Keenum's going to stay in the lineup. He's starting next week.
I don't understand that. Against
the Patriots.
That's a
winnable game. The Bills is a winnable game for this football team if they stop the run, right? The Titans, again, is a winnable game. And who knows with the Colts? They're not all that good, right? I mean, they're good. They're better than this team. But they're not very good on defense, and they're not running the ball.
No. Let me say this about the Colts.
But at 13 points a game.
They have Andrew Luck.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
That's about it.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, they're also not playing good defense all of a
sudden.
Those are all winnable.
Well, and winnable might be a stretch. I mean, let's be honest here. For a 2-9 football team that's averaging, 13 points a game, winnable's a stretch.
But those teams aren't very good.
All right, so here's my point. Okay, what about Chad Henne that you've seen the last couple of weeks where he's thrown 4 interceptions in the last 3 games and the offense is converting 25% on third down?
They're much better Sunday.
Okay. I get it, but that was a defensive game. The defense played well yesterday.
Three.
So when I bring up the Gabbard thing, it's not because I think he's going to be. But, as I walked out of the stadium yesterday, I thought, I'd really feel good about this win if the Jaguars had a young quarterback who was playing and you knew that it was building some momentum for next year. But you don't have that because Henny's not even under contract for you next year. Gabbard is. So thinking logically, to want to see him one more time is not unreasonable or illogical. Now, today, the coach talked a little bit about it, and he said that Chad Henne was their guy, right? He liked the way that Gabbard has practiced. He used the word improvement on the practice field. But you're not going to see Gabbard unless or until something happens with Henne, and it's not going to be 2 3-and-out series or an interception or anything like that. If he gets hurt, you may see him back in the lineup. That's all. My argument has all been about let's see him one more time because he's under contract and he's a young quarterback. If he doesn't get in, no big deal. Because he's not going to be the guy long term.
It's done. That ship has sailed. You can tell.
Right.
You can just tell. It's done.
Well,
it's
and I get that.
Well, going back to the bigger issue, what you started the show with is, can they continue winning? And should they continue winning? I think the answer to both of those are maybe and yes.
Well, we know where you stand on the should they win.
Well, I mean, listen.
I mean, you bang your head against that table every week.
Did you not just say that
you said
were going
you're leading my way?
No, here's why. It doesn't matter if they win or lose. I don't believe in that carrying over garbage like you believe in. What matters is that the young players are getting better.
And they are.
That's all that matters. That's all that matters. Winning or losing doesn't matter.
Well, if your young players get better, you're going to win games.
But I'll say this.
Well, but you have a lot of holes on this team, too. The young players could get better, and you could still lose. But
I am not enamored with the quarterbacks so far at the top of this draft. And I keep getting pounded on Teddy Bridgewater because I've watched him. I've watched his games that have been on TV. I haven't studied his tape. But I don't see Andrew Luck there.
Because he's not there.
I don't see a star there. I just don't. And people have compared him to, you know, like the stand-up pocket passers that are playing in the league, like Matt Ryan and certain people like that and Flacco. I don't know about that. So until you do the workup, it's way too early for that. But right now,
there's not one guy
that you go, wow.
I got to get
wow.
him.
Wow.
Oh, gosh.
See, and I think when Clowney works out for people.
Whoa, stop right there. You're the problem. And people who think that way is
the
problem.
I'm not the
problem.
When
you start making decisions based on how a guy looks.
Okay, I didn't make the decision.
Sweat.
He took
I didn't make
works
the decision.
Out.
All I said was, I think when people watch him work out, the wow factor will be there and someone will become enamored.
But there's the other side to him. You keep hearing stuff about him.
There's
a lot of people in football are wondering about him as a kid.
But how many
and
does it take?
Else.
How many does it
one.
Take? One. Just right. one.
It takes one for
and
the quarterback, too.
Exactly. So there is a better than average chance that there will be someone at the top that someone will want.
By the way, the quarterback class got thinned out in that first round on Saturday. Did you watch Manziel when they didn't rush him? He was horrible, with a capital H. Horrible. He's played himself out of the first round. I think
that might be good.
Here's
I don't know, Tony. He didn't look like an NFL quarterback the other day. He was hopping around. He couldn't get outside. They didn't rush him. They kind of
Mariota looked like an NFL quarterback in Stanford.
He's hurt. He's got a bad knee. That's a big difference because that takes away a big part of his game, his ability to move around. So the quarterback, again, I keep coming back to this guy. It sounds crazy. I think A.J. McCarron's going to end up going in the first round. And A.J. McCarron will play, and we'll know more about him, I guess, Saturday when he plays Auburn. But you keep watching A.J. McCarron. Everybody keeps talking about all the weapons he has and how easy it is for him. Yes, it is. But he commands that football team. I mean, if you could go defensive end and get McCarron maybe in the second round and take your shot on a guy like that, then that's okay. You don't have to take that quarterback in the first round.
I'm not convinced you have to take a quarterback in the first two rounds. Listen, this team.
Stop it, Tony.
I'm just telling you now.
Are you thinking Winston the next year? Is that your thought process? Or are you thinking they don't need one?
No. Obviously, you need a quarterback.
Well, then why would you not take one?
Well, because you also have a lot of other needs, and so are you better off? Hold on.
Before
you start shaking your head, are you better off filling in a deep draft with defensive linemen and there's some good receivers and there's some good, you need linebackers, you need defensive line, you need interior offensive linemen, you need another receiver, you need running back, you need, possibly tight ends. I mean, you need throw out a position group and you have a need there. And so are you better off building the pieces around and then going and either taking a chance on a second or third rounder in quarterback?
When you bang the mic, it goes off.
Oh, sorry. I won't bang it. Or
he's getting all worked up.
Bang it every once in a while.
This might be one of the segments we need him to bang it.
I mean, are you better off building the pieces around it?
That's your exhibit A. I'm going to give you exhibit B. It's called the Green Bay Packers. What has happened to that football team when their quarterback got hurt?
Obviously, if you can find Aaron Rodgers, get him.
But it's not just him. There's other guys that would happen to, okay? What has happened to that football team? So they've lost three games and tied one. To bad football teams. They are total disarray because that guy cures all the crap around them. When he's not there, it exposes all the crap.
I understand that, but he wasn't. There's not very many guys that cure things year one. Outside of Andrew Luck, where's the other guys that cure things year one?
You're not curing year one, Tony. You got to get year one out of your mind. This isn't about next year. It's about the year
after. I understand
that,
but we've just agreed. We're not sure if that guy's there.
Can I reintroduce the Gabbert material for just a moment?
Just thinking logically
here. He's under contract next year, right? And if the new quarterback's not going to change things right away next year, and you might not want to put him in the situation that Gabbert was in, why wouldn't you play him at all in the last 5 weeks and find out whether the guy who's under contract, who might be a bridge to your next quarterback, can play? Just thinking out loud.
I'll just answer it this way. that the body of work that we have seen so far
in 27 starts
and the fact of what the head coach and everyone sees on a daily basis
said saw improvement.
Think said well, I'm today, not saying saw improvement. I'm not saying he didn't say I'm
saw
not,
a guy who's working hard.
I'm not saying he's not working hard. I'm not saying he's improving.
He said he is. The coach said
he is. I said I'm not disagreeing with that.
Okay.
But if he was better than Chad Henne, he'd be in there.
I'm just saying, why in five games, especially with what you're talking about with quarterbacks?
Why can't you
not
bring Chad Henne back?
Why not go pay?
Why?
Why go? How about go pay Jay Cutler?
I hadn't even thought about that.
He's a free agent.
You think Chicago lets him get out of there?
Oh, you know what? All you ever hear of Chicago now is look what McCown's doing.
No, that's some fool's gold right there.
Real quick. Since you were talking about quarterbacks at the end of the first round, if you don't like one at the top, if you want a pass rusher or a defensive lineman, or God forbid another offensive lineman if that's the best player out there, and you're certainly going to need more of those next year. What about the Hundley kid from UCLA? Did you see him? I mean, I know you watched the game the other night.
I'm not impressed.
Not at the end of the first round?
I think he needs to go back to school.
Okay.
I think he needs to go back to school.
I was impressed with a couple of times where he was in the pocket, things were breaking down, guys were hanging off of him.
And he got out.
And he was able to get out
little
and make some good decisions.
A little like Cam Newton when he moves around.
Well, I wasn't even thinking that, but I was just thinking this is a guy with some ability.
I wanted to see more. I'll be honest with you. Yeah. I wanted to see more from him. You know, the kid that's kind of intriguing to me is Derek Carr. Derek Carr's got a better arm or as good an arm as his brother. I wouldn't draft him. I wouldn't draft a Carr if you paid me, but he's intriguing. We know how the Carr family goes. They're not going to go.
Wait a second. Howard, that's hardly fair. I mean,
one guy. You know, dad's going to be.
Fair. Life's not fair.
You know, dad's going to be on the practice field. We know that. Tony's not going to say that, but I'll say it. He was there. He saw it.
I live that, and I have been told that. The younger Carr, Derek Carr, is a little bit different from that, and the relationship's different with the dad and everything else. That he's not like David in that sense.
But I mean, Murray went down with a knee. There would have been a guy at the top of the second round that you might have been. You know, that's another one. Look, the quarterback class that looked to be so good is kind of thinned. It's thinning. They're playing themselves into not being considered those top-tier guys. And so the Jaguars are in a situation where they got to make a decision. Is somebody at the top worth it, or do you wait and take one in a second?
You go take the best player. If you draft 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5, go pick the best player.
Because you need him. Because where don't you need a great player?
And here's the thing. That's why, listen.
And this is more than just a one-year
fix. Going back to the original question, should this team continue to win? Is it okay long-term, big picture? Number one, I think the worst record in the league this year will be a 3-win team.
Probably.
That's my guess. It's
probably.
3-win team.
Because Atlanta's going to win again.
Yeah, Atlanta's going to win again. Tampa, Houston's going to win again. Yeah, Tampa's.
Well, you know, have you seen Houston's schedule, by the way? It's pretty brutal. You got Indianapolis. You've got New England. You've got Denver.
Oh, they might win here, though.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to win again. Right. They're going to win again.
Maybe. Minnesota has already got, they got 2 and a tie. So, yeah. They'll probably win. Yeah. So, 3 wins.
3 wins. And so, I think this team will win anywhere from 0 to 2 more games.
Probably.
That's my guess.
Probably.
So let's say you're a 4-win team. You're picking in the top 5. And this is a draft with a lot of good players. Maybe not. You don't get that one guy as a quarterback. But I don't think that one guy's there. And so you go pick, you know, wherever you pick. And so I don't think you were. I think we've been so enamored. And I think the first part of this year, we were so enamored. Because going into the year, no one was talking of being 0-16. That talk started when you were 0-6 and 0-7 and 0-8, and it felt like you were never going to win.
But we knew
the roster.
And so now
we're like, we'll be the first pick.
But we knew the roster wasn't real.
We understood that, but Brian, don't tell me you're saying, we're going to have the worst record in the NFL this year.
I thought it was possible. I didn't think it was 0-16.
No, I thought 0-16 was possible.
See, I didn't think 0-16 was possible, but I thought that this could be the team at the top of the draft, because when you look at the roster.
It still could.
Right.
That's my point. You don't worry about the draft.
Okay. By the way, your last week, Marquise Lee is 6 feet tall.
He's only 6 feet?
Yeah.
Really? I thought he was 6'2".
No. You know what? I'll give you a quick story.
How tall is AJ Green?
Is that 6'3"?
Is he really?
Yeah.
Actually, he's listed as 6'4".
Yeah.
Real quick. Just a real quick story that tells you the impact, though, of where you're positioned in certain drafts. And we have yet to know, as Pete said, exactly where everyone falls. But in 2003, if you remember the season finale, I don't think you were in town in 2003. Pete, you were already off on CBS Sportsline. The Jaguars beat the New Orleans Saints when the extra point was missed by John Carney.
Right. I was here for that game.
When that happened, the Jaguars went from the fourth pick to the ninth pick. At the fourth pick, they draft Larry Fitzgerald. At the ninth pick, it's a crapshoot, right? We know what they did. They screwed it up. They drafted Reggie Williams. They could have taken Ben Roethlisberger, so this is not necessarily the perfect example. But at four, you get a future Hall of Fame wide receiver, and at nine, you know, because there's some guys that were drafted after them that were okay and then petered out, right? And
right.
Roethlisberger was terrific. So there are moments where you say, you know, fate steps into this one and you lose. And the Jaguars on draft day in 2004 tried like hell to trade Jimmy Smith to the Baltimore Ravens to get that fourth pick. You know, to get the ammo to get up there and get that pick.
All right, here's one. Let's just say, for the sake of your argument, Tony, they're picking fourth, okay? They'll win a game. They'll pick fourth, third or fourth. Let's say the team picking first is the Atlanta Falcons. They take Clowney.
Okay.
The team picking second is the Minnesota Vikings. They take Bridgewater. You're picking third. What do they do?
I don't know enough about the draft at this point.
Well, you have an idea. Okay. The other option would be to take Mariota. Or a person from another position. Where you go?
Yeah, there's a lot of guys, a lot of big guys up at the top of the draft that are good. Jake Matthews looks like he's a great player. Lewis Nix, the kid from Reigns,
but
that's at Notre Dame.
They can't take another offensive tackle in the first round. Can't.
I wouldn't think
you're
so.
Drafting a right tackle at a high spot. You can't do that.
Makes sense.
Right?
But you could take Lewis Nix. Right?
I don't think you're going to take a nose tackle, run-stuffing nose tackle in the first round.
Well, how about the kid, the bar
UCLA kid?
He was bad the other night. He didn't do a lot. I don't know.
You can't judge by one game.
No,
we're
I know.
Yeah. Let's take a break. We'll come back. This conversation will go on and on.
It's going to go on. It's going to go on for a while.
Jaguars Monday here on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
All right, lively conversation around some of the same topics we've been talking about the last couple of weeks, but that's really where this franchise is right now, going down the home stretch.
Five games
left to play.
Good game.
Yeah, we'll get to it.
I'll say this about the game real quick. Some of those young kids are getting better.
I watched it today. It was impressive.
Cyprian's
good.
And I didn't see I haven't watched the tape yet, but Cyprian's.
Cyp played good. Crotch played, good. I thought he was good.
Alan Ball. One
talks about is Alan Ball.
Alan Ball is playing good.
I mean, he's a guy. How old is Alan Ball? 6 year?
Yeah.
I mean, he's
playing good.
He can play it here another 5 years. I mean, that's a guy you can.
You got to bring him back.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He can
is
play.
He on a 1 year? Is he on a 1 year deal?
I don't think so. I think he was on a 2 year deal,
he's
but it was short.
Back. Yeah.
You know,
what is Andre Branch?
Andre Branch is playing better.
How did he look on the tape?
You know, he played the run well. He still isn't great one-on-one, but he showed some speed and in the twist game of explosiveness. He's still not a great one-on-one pass rusher, but he played better.
He doesn't use his hands, does he?
Not great.
Nope. No.
Not very good with his hands right now.
Is he playing better with his knee bend? Because I think that was the criticism of him by Jeff.
I mean, his run game, he's playing better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he was not a natural knee bender and he couldn't get
But you look at that.
Ace showed some speed.
Right. You look at that defense, though, moving forward. The secondary will come back probably intact
right
here. Right?
Yeah, and they'll probably add to it.
Right.
In the draft.
Right.
They'll drop another
The linebackers, they need to get faster. That's the bottom line. They need to get faster. That's a speed thing at that linebacker position. That's one. And you use like a fourth or third rounder. You get speed guys. You find those guys. You get them in there. So Derek Marks will come back. He was on a 1 year deal.
Yeah, 1 year
right?
deal.
Yeah, so he'll come back, I would think.
They like it.
Roy Miller will probably come back.
Yeah, I would bring him back. He's playing hurt and playing his. I mean, he hasn't been great this year,
but
the last 2 weeks he's gotten better, but you can still see that he's.
But they got to get
Tyson injuries.
Tyson, Mincy, and Babin are all done.
Yeah, they got to get some depth along the defensive front because Derek Marks can't play 60 snaps again.
No,
the last couple of weeks.
They're asking a lot of him.
I buried Maurice a couple different times. He actually looked like he had a little bounce in his step, or was it just because the holes were huge?
They did a heck of a job.
The offensive line did a good job. I'll tell you.
Will Rackley played well, didn't he?
Will Rackley played his best game of the year.
Yep.
He did a good job. Listen, he did a good job against JJ.
How'd Pazder do? I saw him get beat one time.
Yeah, he got beat one time. But, listen, I think you have a right tackle. I don't think you have to go get a right tackle.
Well,
I actually think you have three tackles, and that's not a position you need to address in the draft.
All right, so you have three tackles. If Rackley can play – you said he played – I got to go watch the tape. But you
he
said
played good.
So
he's got to be consistent. Listen, he's had some
right
bad ones too this
right.
year. But he played well.
Yeah, but he's like Branch and a couple of those younger guys.
He's getting
end of
better.
Their second
Absolutely.
Year.
Need a center.
Because he missed last year.
Probably,
yeah,
need a right, probably need a right guard.
Is there any chance that the folks in Cleveland will let Mack go?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because he's a really good player.
No.
Alex Mack.
Absolutely not.
Best center that would be on the free agent market.
Yes.
All right. Well, we got a lot to talk about. Jaguars win yesterday, victory Monday, and it's time for news here on News Talk WOKV, now on 104.5 FM and on AM 690. 3 months to get a... Well, our broadcast is brought to you by PRI Productions. So I'm looking at the schedule. We kind of went through this already, and the Jaguars, not to get ahead of them, you're only scoring 13 points a game. But you've got Cleveland.
You know,
no,
funny.
No, 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 but no.
You're scared they're going to win every game. That's my
no. I'm really
part.
Not.
You're scared.
No, I'm not.
You, basically,
no.
Before this show, you were scared that
oh,
they're going to win every
God.
Game.
You know, just because you talk loud doesn't mean you're correct. Scared. Give me a break. I'm pointing out.
He does
facts.
Talk loud, doesn't
and
he?
And he thinks that he can just
think
say
you're
it.
An offensive lineman or something.
You say
way.
It long enough, it becomes true. But here's
that,
why
that doesn't work.
And we were talking. No, it doesn't. Oh. We were talking during the break.
Try a new strategy, Joe.
We were talking during the break. You know, one of the reasons why, even though the Jaguars are not an incredibly deep, talented team, and they're not scoring a lot of points, is that Gus Bradley's culture is taking hold here. They're playing hard. This is a better place to be right now than Houston. Just read the newspaper articles. Those guys are down on themselves. Go look at what's going on in Cleveland right now, the team you're coming up on this week. I mean, you got both sides of the locker room attacking each other. And saying, well, we're not really attacking each other, but turnovers, 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 TJ Ward, right? I mean, you've got places in this league where you've got real dissension and where things aren't working, and Gus has these guys playing hard, he's got them playing smart, and he's got them playing up to the limit of their potential. So that's why I think they've got a shot in these final couple of games to put together some wins.
Well, I'm going to say this, because we all had to endure a lot of people. A lot of callers, a lot of people writing in, a lot of people we saw on the street saying, I'm tired of hearing, you know, other talk shows. I'm tired of hearing Gus being positive. He needs to rip them. He, you know, this positive stuff, and he's positive.
Well, people
after
only like to rip, right?
No, my point. God. No, my point is, you know, they were, this isn't working, you know. And I said it back then, and I'll say it now. It's the one thing I love about Gus Bradley. He is a man of conviction. He believes what he believes, and he's not going to change. Now, he'll evolve and work on things where he can get better, but his underlying foundation of who he is as a coach and a person is this: his philosophy of competition, of being positive, of, you know, of driving guys to be the best they can and getting better, and it works.
Okay, now stop, because it's Gus working. Talked about that today, and this is what I'm saying. This is why this football team, despite the fact that they are, you know, 32nd in offense, 29th in defense, why they've got a shot with the Browns, Texans, Bills, and Titans over the next 4 weeks.
Well, it's always that challenge. And I think we need to continue to develop depth. And I think what you're seeing, too, with our defense, part of the things that's helped is morale. When you get more guys involved, more guys that have roles, I think it elevates everybody. The meeting room is great. Winston Guy has a role. Josh Evans has a role. You're seeing JT Thomas is playing. You're seeing Johnny Lutule playing. You're seeing more guys have roles. And I think when you're in a meeting room and you're talking, it just uplifts everybody, and they all feel a part of it. And that's always good. I always challenge our coaches. If a guy deserves a play and deserves reps, put him in there. Put him in there. It's good for the team. It's good for competition, and it's good for morale.
Right.
And I think, you know, guys like Ryan Davis. But the cool thing is, when we elevated Ryan Davis, Jason Babin thought it was awesome, one of the best things that take place. It was not seen as a threat. It wasn't seen as a guy who's going to take reps away from him. It was really seen as a guy that can elevate our play. And those things are cool.
Yeah. So you want to know why I think that they can win some games? Because he's developed this culture in this locker room, and he explained it so beautifully right there. It wasn't completely germane to what we were talking about, but just the way that he looks about improving the team and improving the competition. And I think over the next 5 games, he's going to get more out of this team than a lot of people could.
Okay. Stop there. Guess what? And he's going to get in another. So you get through the season, you have an off season. The culture is going to marinate, and then you bring in new players and new young guys, and there's going to be a culture that's established that they're going to fall into and how things are done. and you're going to get a couple free agents and the right free agents because they're only going to get guys that fit what they want to do. And you get better faster. Now, listen, you still have to have good players. I mean, this league is about good players. But whether it's what Gus Bradley has done, how Pete Carroll's done it, I'll go back to what Tom did here. Listen, in 1996, it wasn't like we were a bunch of superstars. Now, we had good players, but there was a culture. Now, his was different, and he did it different, but it nurtured guys who wanted to go out there and compete and play together.
You had a quarterback.
Pete, I agree with that. But you look at if everyone is getting better. Now, ultimately, you have to have the guy who can pull the trigger. We all agree that to win the big game. But you, along the way, as you're finding who that guy is, if everyone else is getting better and you figure out, and this is a hard thing to do, and so far Gus has done it. Now, over the long haul, you have to do it year in and year out, where guys believe in what you're doing. That is so big in this league because, Pete, you cover a lot of teams. I've been around guys, and it is a cancer in a lot of locker rooms when guys stop buying in to what is being sold. And when that happens, you're not as good on Sunday, even if you have better players. I'll say this. Houston has a better talent than we do.
No doubt.
They have better players. Cleveland has more talent than we do.
But right where now. Would you rather be right now?
I'd rather be here because this organization, for the first time in a long time, has a leader at the top that has a plan, is creating a culture, has strong convictions, and doesn't change with the wind, and is the same every day. I say it all the time. Love him or hate him, Tom Coughlin, you respected him because you knew what you were getting every day. Agree or disagree with Gus's philosophy of how he does things.
You're getting the results.
You're getting the same thing every day, and guys know what to expect, and they can buy in.
I'm going to play devil's advocate here. We're talking about Cleveland. Why is Cleveland any different? They got a first-time head coach. They got a new general manager, a new president, the whole new thing. And they have talent. All they're missing is a quarterback.
Just because you have a new head coach doesn't mean you have the right head coach.
Well, I'm not saying he is, but
I'm not saying he isn't. I'm just saying right. I don't know anything about
But if Cleveland gets a quarterback.
You
have Josh Gordon, who is better than any receiver on this roster.
I mean, listen, they're playing pretty good when Brian Hoyer was there.
Right. But I'm talking about getting a real quarterback. Sustainable quarterback, Tony. Brian Hoyers and Jason Campbell's and Josh McCown's of the world are not sustainable. I'm talking about the guy.
But who is sustainable than Pete outside of the five guys that I know you're going to mention?
I'll mention more than five. You got to include Eli. He's got two rings. You got to include Flacco. He's got one. I don't care. It's sustainable. Next year they fix some things and they're back in the mix again. You can't say that about Josh McCown. You can't say that about Jason Campbell. You can't say that about certain guys. It's sustainability. Not every year. The Atlanta Falcons stink this year, but they're going to be back in the mix again next year. Why? Because Matt Ryan's there. It's sustainability. It's not the up
and down. No, and I agree with you. But I also think when you create – and I'll just go where Gus came from. That was a team that went and paid $10 million for Matt Flynn because they felt like they needed the guy to pull the trigger. They were really good around that guy. They were really good defense. They were really talented. We might not have known it. They had a good back. They had some pieces that were pretty dang good that no one could name them 2 years ago. Now, you could have because you're around the league, but the average person,
right.
they're household names. They signed Matt Flynn. They drafted, Russell Wilson in the third round. He walks in somehow and proves pretty quick. But last year, for the majority of that year, Russell Wilson was just not losing games. It wasn't like he was dominating. Now, by the end, he got pretty dang good and made some big plays in key times when they needed him to. But that was a team that was built on great defense and a running game.
I give you that. If they play with Matt Flynn the entire year, what's their record?
No, listen. I agree.
But that's the counterpoint to what you say about building the roster, and the roster's this and the roster's that. If Matt Flynn plays, they win six games maybe.
But you're missing the point.
No.
Yes, you are. My point is that Russell Wilson was the right guy. I'm not sure Russell Wilson goes to other places and is that successful right away. But he went to the right place with the right culture and was the right type of guy that they thought could flourish there, and he's become a good quarterback.
He's a football head, so he fits.
I agree.
Right.
That's my point.
But he would have gone.
But you can find those guys.
He'd have gone somewhere else and been just as – he's a good player. And
I
he
agree.
Loves it, and he knows how to read defenses, and he's smart, and he's accurate, and he moves.
But my whole point is, yes, I know you have to have the quarterback.
But I'm disproving your whole theory. Your whole theory is that roster is loaded, correct? And it is. They have a good roster.
Yeah, good.
And he walked into a situation where the roster was loaded.
Pete did not. The roster wasn't loaded when he got
not
there.
Not Pete. Russell
Wilson. Yeah.
Okay, so, but if Russell Wilson doesn't play quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks in 2012 and Matt Flynn does, what's the record?
I don't know. My point is...
yes, you do. You have an idea.
Oh, I don't think they're as good as they are.
They might win... Maybe they win eight games,
Russell
right?
Wilson's a better player.
Right, so they might win eight games.
You're missing my whole point, though.
No, that's... I'm proving my point.
No, my whole point is, as you get better everywhere else and you continue to build that, then you go find... Listen, maybe you find him next year. I'm not saying you don't find him next year. But this team has so many things, and the big foundation is creating the culture. Then you go find the right guys who fit.
So let me get back to the point, and then we'll take a break. The point is, when you look at the Jaguars and the way that they're playing with Gus Bradley right now, the way that they're playing on defense, and Chad Henne, right, played very well yesterday, very well. Didn't score a lot of points. But
did that hurt you to say?
No, I don't. You know, you're missing the point on the Henne thing.
Go ahead.
I don't dislike Chad. I think he's a good guy. Well, no, I'm going to clarify this now. I think he's a good guy. I think he's a tough guy. I'm just trying to think bigger picture than right here and right now. But I respect your point that if you have Henne in there, it's better for the rest of the team. I get that. I'm just looking big picture quarterback. I've been influenced by Pete. Quarterback's the only player that
I'm
matters.
I'm looking big picture, too. The big picture
this.
Is the culture
okay.
you're creating.
And Gus is doing that anyway.
Yeah.
But so I get it.
But here's the thing.
No. All right. I want to finish this point.
Go ahead.
When you look at this team and the way that they're playing right now, can they sustain the winning over the next month?
I don't know. Listen, it's a team that the margin for error is very little.
Can they run like that? Can they stop the run?
I think they're – listen, we said coming out of the bye week, if they need to get better on both fronts, and they have. So all we can go by is what we've seen over three games.
Just a question.
And so – but the margin of error is very small for this team still. But I'll go back to my whole point of – you know, you talk about whether you want to see Blaine, and I have nothing against either guy. I don't really care is my point right now.
It doesn't really matter.
That's
to
my
be
point.
With you.
But here's what does matter. If you're Gus Bradley and you've created this culture of competition and getting better and pushing yourselves and this is who we are, and then all of a sudden you go when everyone and you really don't believe and go to a guy that you don't think is as good as the guy.
Well, go back to what I said.
That changes the culture.
Go back to what I said. I didn't say.
That goes against everything who you are.
I didn't say bench Henne. I said, I'd like to see Gabbard. And those are two.
Well, guess
what happens if Henne? What happens if Henne?
You only can see Gabbard.
No. No, because I didn't say bench Henne. Because I never said you should.
What do you.
Brad, what happens if
you don't play two quarterbacks?
No, you're missing my point. You're not
you're
listening.
You're making a point.
You're talking. You're not listening.
I am too.
No, you're not.
I
because
am
what I said all along is, yeah, I get it. I get that Henny's giving them a better chance to win, but I would still like to see him before the season's over. At no point did I say they should bench Henne. At no point did
well,
I say
you have to bench Henne to play Gabbard.
I mean, how do you do it?
Well, no, I just said I'd like to see
he
him
wants to see
if things change.
What if Henne has
maybe
two bench? What if Henne has?
Maybe
no, no.
We'll talk to Jed. I'll go down and see
no,
Jed. Hey, Jed, can
point.
You put in an offense?
Hey, what would you do?
No, we I never
saw
said
that
either.
We saw that in Baltimore yesterday.
Yeah.
It didn't go very well.
No, no.
Hey, what
I
would
never
you,
said that.
What would you do? What would you say if Henne has two bad games in a row? Then would you go back to Gabbard?
Listen.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't really matter.
It doesn't matter. Which is why
the
I say
is,
there's a difference between calling for benching and saying, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing him one more time.
But one word that gets thrown around a lot on this show is culture.
Okay, what would you like me to change it to? The attitude, the atmosphere, the feeling of the building.
But
okay, you
I get
here.
That. I
Ask
get
Brian.
That. I get
been
that.
Here.
It's different. I get
it's
that.
Different.
No, it is.
It's really
no,
different.
No, it's definitely different. But the other thing is it doesn't. The winning doesn't carry over.
Yes, it does. The
no,
winning
the,
culture.
The mentality carries over
well,
about being a player. But you think a win from one year carries over to the next.
Pete, if what he is doing is not backed up by some success, it doesn't work as well.
Yeah.
Doesn't, Pete.
All right,
look,
we got a break.
It's they're getting better. That's
one more segment thing. In this hour, and we roll along from the HennettyAutos.com studios on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Now visit Jaguars.com and check out Inside the Jaguars driven by Tom Bush and get caught up on the latest Jaguars news and a chance to win the ultimate Jags game day experience. Hey, you know what?
the last time I'm ever doing that again, ever.
What?
Ever asked me for
going to get food
for Pete?
I'm not a big ham guy, but did you see what he did? He brought something back, and he had to make a little joke about it from the little kiddie table. He brought a corn dog.
280 people. 280. That's all I'm looking at.
Oh, I'm going backwards. Okay. I had a bad day.
Hey, real quick,
today?
Yeah. No, this weekend, and I paid for it this morning.
We got 5 minutes here.
All right, go ahead.
Just want to point this out. The Browns came back in 1999, right? They had the first pick in 99. They messed it up. They should have taken Don McNabb. They took Tim Couch. But here's their record since. 2-14, 3-13, 7-9, 9-7, they went to the playoffs. That's the only playoff game they've been in since 94. Then 5-11, 4-12, 6-10, 4-12. They went 10-6 in 07, but they didn't make the playoffs. It wasn't good enough. But since then, 4-12, 5-11, 5-11, 4-12, 5-11, and now they're 4-7. They've won four playoff games since 1969. By comparison, the Jaguars have won five since 1996, right? So when you look at this Browns organization, what have they failed to do? What is the big problem? Early on, it was big guys. They didn't draft any big guys, right? But so they're screwing it up, just like the Jaguars screwed up the draft all those years when Shaq Harris was in charge of it and they didn't get anything done. And then Gene, you know, didn't do the job very well either, and obviously they've fallen down. But you look, they've been mired in mediocrity, mired in it, for a long time, longer than Jaguars.
And mediocrity isn't how you get better, because you never get that guy.
You know, what is it
they
that the
two
right
first round, they had two top of the draft picks.
Well, they had,
and they picked
back
third
in the day,
and they messed it up. They took Tim Couch and then Courtney Brown.
But since then,
well, I thought Courtney Brown would be good too. He was a specimen.
It was hard to look at him and not see a stud player.
Soft.
He was one of those guys you looked at, you're like, oh man, it's gonna be a long day.
Right.
But you know, you look at the stories out of the newspaper in Cleveland, and they call their stadium the Factory of Sadness. Right.
Right.
I mean, they got great fans.
So what's the point?
Well, I'm just looking, and when you talk about doing this, about building a team and getting away from this, you have to draft right. No matter what, no matter whether you're drafting one or seventh, right?
Let me tell you three things.
Let me finish my thought, and then you can have it. It's all about drafting right. We think that Dave Caldwell had a good draft this year based on what we've seen so far. So no matter where he picks, it's about drafting correctly. And if it's not the quarterback this year, if it's the offensive tackle or the defensive tackle or the linebacker, it's about drafting right so that you don't fall into this cycle.
You're not exactly – I don't 100% agree with you there. It's about four things. It's about having the right owner, the right GM, the right coach, and the right quarterback. You have those four things, then you're going to be
well, ultimately, you have to get the quarterback.
No, listen. The New England
Patriots. That's drafting right.
You're proving my theory for me.
New England Patriots. And I added a few more things.
How is that disagreeing with me? Because what I'm saying is you got to draft right. You got to go to
the New England Patriots have not drafted right lately, have they, Pete?
No.
No. Well, they're good every year. You know why?
They have the quarterback.
You want to know why? No. They have a great owner who gets it.
Well, how's that disagreeing with what I said?
They have a outstanding coach.
Right.
And they have a Hall of Fame quarterback.
You're the most wishy-washy guy in the history of sitting behind a microphone. You were just sitting over here preaching about how if you have all these great pieces, it's a great thing and all that, and it's not the quarterback, you don't need
it. I said you need the quarterback.
Am I sitting here
talking about all the pieces, which is why I brought this up.
You need the quarterback.
Now you're saying you don't need pieces.
It's one of the things, but the head coach is the one who sets the culture and the GM and the owner. It's about leadership. And yes, you need the quarterback. I agreed with you. Russell Wilson made them better. But Russell Wilson walked into a culture with the right head coach, very good GM, and an owner that empowered them to do their job.
And then you bring the quarterback in. Ready? If you have the same owner, Paul Allen, the same coach, Pete Carroll, the same general manager, John Schneider, and the same personnel, and you have Matt Flynn, the culture doesn't matter a damn bit because they're not going to the postseason.
The Browns have had 20 different quarterbacks.
Look at the
since
Chiefs.
They came back.
Look at the Chiefs. Every year, it's plug in a piece of garbage and try and win. It's not sustainable. This franchise will continue to do that until they find the guy who can be sustainable behind center. When was the last time they had a sustainable quarterback behind center? Mark Brunell.
And we are due for news at the top of the hour. We roll on into hour number two after this from the HannityAutos.com studio. You're listening to Jaguars Monday on News Talk WOKV, now on 104.5 FM and on AM 690.
Live from the HannahNiaAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Presented by Kangaroo Express. J Jaguars Monday with Brian Sexton, Jaguars great Tony Baselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Baptist Health System and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
All right, hour number two here, Jaguars Monday. Lively conversation, opinions all over the place.
I'd like to offer an apology.
I'm bleeding over here. Joe's going to stitch me up at the break.
Brian was making a point supporting me, and I kind of went after him, and I missed what he was saying about – because my whole point in this, and we'll move on.
We're going to stick on the quarterback because it's too good of a topic.
But my whole point is there's only four or five quarterbacks in this league that transcend the team that you plug in, and it's not about the pieces around them as much. It's just they're that good. And their names are Brady and Manning and Breeze and Rodgers and maybe Roethlisberger. He's borderline. The rest of them are – listen, they're franchise quarterbacks, but you have to have pieces around them. Atlanta Falcons are Exhibit 1, you know, Exhibit 1A. Matt Ryan is a good franchise quarterback. But you better have good pieces around him because he's not going to just put the team on his back and carry that team like a Tom Brady can or a Drew Brees. Listen, you put Tom Brady on this team, you're fighting for the wild card. I mean, there's only four to five of these guys.
If Blackman's on the team.
That exist in the
but
world.
But you know what? Since you bring that
and
up.
So my whole point is you have to have the pieces and the culture around that you can plug in a good player like a Matt Ryan or Russell
Wilson. And you're right. Only once has Tom Brady really had a star receiver, and that was Randy Moss. Remember when he was doing it with David Givens?
Yeah, look what he's doing it with this year.
Yeah, but for the early part of his career, let's not forget the defense was kind of carrying that
team
for a while.
The defense was a great – but he was still putting up numbers.
The defense is no good.
No.
He has Gronkowski and nobody else.
Right, I give you.
He has an average offensive line.
No, look, I went to bed last night because I thought 27.
But Skarnecki makes that average offensive line, and so does Brady. They make it better.
I agree.
Right.
But Brady,
well, Manning does the same thing.
Right.
But here's my thing.
In the cold weather, he doesn't.
I went to bed last night.
Not in the wind,
at
Pete.
Halftime, thinking 24 points against Peyton Manning, that's going to be really difficult for anybody to overcome because Manning's record when he's a 10-point lead or an 11-point lead is, you know, 99%.
I fell asleep.
And then here comes Tom Brady out just, you know, gunning and making plays.
That's unbelievable.
Making,
you guys forgot he was coaching the other team last night. You went to bed?
I thought you said he wasn't
watching.
The coach. I thought you said it was man.
I fell asleep watching.
Hey, by the way, talk about culture and the atmosphere and the environment and all that. And it comes from Seattle and he learned it from Seattle and everything. Brandon Brown are now facing another suspension for PEDs.
When that come out?
Today.
Just now. Yeah, I just saw a tweet from Mike Silver.
How's that culture?
That's not really. That's not what you're looking for.
That would be a
but
year,
you know
too,
what?
Wouldn't it? Because it'd be
eight games.
One. 8 games.
Yeah.
That means it's Adderall.
So that means
probably.
He's out and Thurman's out for at least the next four weeks. That's a problem because the way they play defense.
I agree. No, listen, I'm not signing off on PEDs. I'm not saying that's a good thing to have.
Let's
and
talk.
My guess is Pete Carroll's not saying, "Hey, boys, let's dial up the PEDs."
Real quick,
coaches don't have that much control, Pete. You know that.
I was thinking about how difficult it is to get the quarterback, right? I mean, you look at how many guys, and we'll use the draft of 2011, right? Cam Newton was clearly number one because of what he had done in his physical stature, and right now he's proving it. He's playing well. Jake Locker, Blaine Gabbert, Christian Ponder, all busts. All three guys that are going to be finding other jobs.
But you want to see again.
One guy that I said I did, but you know what? It doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't matter. They're busts, okay? So, but those are three guys that most everyone had graded as first-round picks. Probably, you know, top 15 picks. And none of them could play. I mean, that's interesting when you look at the number of top picks. How about Matt Ryan? Top five pick, right? And he's not elite. Because we were talking about during the break.
He's good. But he's not elite.
Well, Aaron Rodgers, 24th pick in the draft. He's elite. Right?
Well, I mean, so Tom Brady, sixth-round pick, he's elite.
He's elite.
Peyton Manning, first pick overall, elite.
But
Drew Brees, top of the second round,
people
elite.
Tend to overdraft that position because they need the
They're
quarterback.
And
so you're going to have Teddy Bridgewater, and you're going to have Marcus Mariota, and are they going to have higher grades than they normally should? And this is not new. This has been the last couple of years. And so when you look at this franchise and what they're going to do, number one pick or number seven pick, it doesn't make any difference. That quarterback position is so, Dave Caldwell's career will be defined by finding the right quarterback. And it's interesting to look at how difficult it is.
They most of the time are. Not always. But most of the time the GM's career is defined by that. No, but
you're right. But in the modern era, in this particular era.
Ozzie Newsome somehow is – I mean, he got Flacco.
Well, he had the
that.
Greatest defense in the world
I'm
and
just saying,
won
it's
with.
Not always, but yeah, you're right.
And Flacco's very good. Flacco's Matt Ryan, isn't he?
Yeah, he's
won a Super Bowl.
He's in
Super Bowl
that. Yeah, he's, that. Yeah, he's that guy. But that goes back to what Pete said earlier. Listen, if you're in this draft, you're not sure. And I mean, maybe it is A.J. McCarron. Maybe A.J. McCarron is that guy who's the smartest guy and gets it, and maybe not a great athlete, but good enough arm. And I mean, just has all the other things that maybe he's the guy that gets drafted in the second round and that he becomes the best of them. I don't know. My whole point that goes back is we rehash and circle all the way back to that's why I don't think it's the right time to worry about wins and losses in your draft position right now, because there's not that guy right now in the draft.
This is
it's a, to your point, Brian, you made with Cleveland that I completely missed. It's about drafting the right guy wherever you pick.
No doubt. And I have never said be number one for the quarterback overall. And to be honest with you, look, here's where I saw the chance. I do see the chance for the Jaguars. Cleveland's a game they can win. The Texans, if Case Keenum is starting again, and he's starting against the Patriots, is a game they can win. The Bills is a game they can win. And the Titans, those are all games they can win. Now, they've got to play as well
where
as they did yesterday.
Playing, they can...
Right, okay. So here's my thought. If you win four or five more ball games, where are you at the end of this year with your roster, right? Because they've got so many holes. That's all I'm saying is if you back away from the money players at the top in a year where you're going to be replacing a lot of guys next year, is that the right place for them to be? At no point in time am I saying, well, you got to have the number one pick overall. Now, I think Dave Caldwell can do a good job no matter where he's at.
But you know, do you really four, think five, they're going to win out, Brian?
No, I don't. But I just I'm looking at a team.
I mean,
I don't.
It'd be more fun for us on Sundays.
Well, no, and absolutely. And people go, well, you want them to lose? Well, no, it's more fun to talk to these guys.
It's a lot more fun.
When they win, absolutely. But, you know, there is a little bit of a confluence here of the Jaguars getting their, culture going, playing hard on defense, right? Got the running game going yesterday, got some young players, and not just rookies, Will Rackley, Andre Branch. You got some guys who are playing better, and now you're coming into a series of games against teams that are sucking wind, right? I mean, the Browns are just killing each other in the media. I mean, it's so toxic there. Houston isn't much further behind. Well, I think the Bills are a good young team. I think they're playing well.
Good coach, too.
I think Doug Moore, so they're not necessarily that, but I think the Jaguars are up for a challenge like that.
Good defense.
They're not, yeah, right? And then,
very good.
And then you get a Titans team, and, you know, come on. That's all up and down. Do I think they're going to win them all? No, I don't. But you do have some factors here where the Jaguars could get some traction.
Well, you know the funny thing is, O'Brien? All those teams are saying the same thing about Jacksonville.
Well, all of them are. They're calling the Jaguars the doormat.
But they're not. They're far from the doormat that people thought they were.
Yeah.
Which you got to give it. And you said this earlier. You give a lot of credit to Gus Bradley. He is a guy that has this team playing hard.
He stays the course.
He's playing hard. Think about this, though.
If Chad Henne plays error-free ball, if he doesn't throw interceptions, that gives him an even greater chance.
Yeah, because
the
margin for error is slim.
It's so small. Right. And yesterday he did that, which gave them an opportunity.
Think about this going forward for next year, okay? I like doing this. Ace Sanders, to me, showed that he might be that guy in the slot.
He got some speed.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
If and this is an if, Blackman comes back with Cecil. And Cecil's a different guy when he's the number, when you're out there by yourself. He'll be a different guy if he's got Blackman on the field. All of a sudden, that quarterback, whoever it is, comes in here. That's three. They still need a guy to take the top off.
Yeah, and you still need a stretch receiver.
And Mike Brown's in the mix, too. You get a stretch receiver. You know, you get one of those guys. You still look at that group. That's a pretty good group to come into. You got your left tackle. He's going to be a good player.
Yeah.
You think they have the right tackle, which is probably right for the way the game is played nowadays. That right tackle is
solid
enough.
They have a left guard.
They have a left guard, maybe. The center and right guard, probably new. You can find one in free agency and draft one.
Right.
Okay. Running back, you're going to have to find one, but there are a million of those out there. You can find those guys
Well,
anywhere.
Look at Dennis Johnson.
You can find him anywhere.
No disrespect.
So the quarterback comes in next year. Who you draft, if you're going to play him, you got a pretty good group around him. Should, if Blackman comes back, should have a pretty good group around him. To me, that's the kind of situation, if you want to wait and take McCarron, you can do that. McCarron, to me, I'm not saying by any stretch of the imagination is he him, but he carries himself like Tom Brady. Watch him Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
He carries himself like Tom Brady.
And he's around a guy like Bill Belichick and Nick Saban.
And he loves it, and he's embraces the whole
thing.
What
kind of guy is he? I've never,
he embraces the whole thing. Loves it. Football head. Loves it. Studies it. Lives it. The whole
guys like him in the locker
room?
Yeah. And you know, It's not a one-year fix. You're going to take a quarterback this year, and if it's not the guy, you're going to take a quarterback next year. It just goes back to it's a very difficult guy to get. And so it doesn't hurt you to take him with the second-round pick.
No.
Because you're going to need more than one quarterback anyway.
And people say, well, oh, they're going to miss out on Jameis Winston, whatever. You don't know what that's going to be a year from now. You have
no
idea.
We don't know what Jameis Winston's going to be in a week from now.
Right. Yeah. You don't have no idea. So you can't You can't count on that type of situation. If you like your guy, you draft your guy. But I'm telling you, the more I watch McCarron, and everybody says, well, he plays with the best players. And yes, he does. But that's not what you're looking at. You're looking at, can he make the throws? And I think he can make all the throws. Does he read the field? He reads the field. Is he accurate? He's accurate. Is he smart? Yeah. Is he tough? Yeah. Does he love it? Yes. And he's a winner.
You know the only thing we don't know about
him? He's a leader. He's a winner. I've heard that before.
You know the only thing we don't know?
Did you just say that?
Yeah.
You know the only thing we don't know about him? Does he have pocket presence? Because he's never getting any pressure on him because that offensive line protects him so
well. But you know
what?
When he's played LSU, you're right. That offensive line has been great the whole time he's been there. But when he's played LSU and they've been great on defense with Mingo and those guys, they've got after him a little bit. I like him. I'm not in love with him. I don't think he's
– How big is he, Pete?
He's 6'3".
Is he?
Yeah. There's intrigue about him because just the way he – and again –
way he carries himself.
It's that it. You know, these other guys, like Manziel, yeah – he's exciting, but does he carry himself like a guy that's going to walk into that huddle?
Yeah,
think he does?
I do.
I don't know. I there's something about him that
I mean, I'll say it this way: there's certain guys when they walk in, you just know that they're the guy. And I agree with you about AJ. And Manziel's that type of guy. Like, just you watch him, like everyone around him just knows he's the guy.
He's the swagger. He's got the He's got that.
He's
swagger.
The guy.
Yeah, he'll like.
Now, he didn't play very well there.
No,
today,
but you can see after a game, the opposition always comes over to him after
the guy.
A game. Right. You see that. Yeah. So there's some of that. But yeah. McCarron to me is on the. He can make himself into that guy. I think he's intriguing. I don't. And again, I haven't studied him on tape. I'm just talking about what I've watched from him being in college at Alabama.
All right. 355-NFL 1-800-355-6351. Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. You're listening to Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
All right, rolling right along with Pete Prisco and Tony Boselli. Time for the Copy Facts face-off. And based on last night's game in New England with the weather and how it affected the quarterback, Peyton Manning especially, we're talking about that Super Bowl in New York coming up in February and the weather conditions, which could be a whole lot worse.
You know what he's playing? That's hockey music, by the way.
I know. Before we get to that.
Hockey?
Yeah, it's NHL.
Hockey talk.
It sounds like the college basketball
talk
too.
Before we get to the face-off, one that I've been declaring victory on, like, I mean, I've won every week, but this one was a stone-cold loss.
When we have a humility contest, you're going to win that one,
but,
too.
But Pittsburgh's coming back from the dead.
Yeah, I know. I know.
I might end up being wrong about that one.
Like the rest of them.
No.
Yes. You've been browbeat every day.
People are still running the read option.
I'm Mike McCrary and you.
People are still you better hope not because he had long days.
All right, so do you like the idea of the Super Bowl outdoors in the cold?
No, I do not. I think it's stupid. Look, it's not because I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care if I'm sitting in the press box. What do I care? I don't care for the fans who are going to pay the big money to sit outside. I don't care about them either. I don't care about the traffic in New York. I don't care about that either.
Well, you're putting up a picture of compassion here.
No, I care.
Well, as long as he's good, he's fine.
Right. It's all that matters. You know that.
I understand that.
You figured that out. What I don't like is that a game of that magnitude can be decided by the elements.
It's football, Pete.
All right.
Guess what? So let me ask you, why not? Because let's say you're the Kansas City Chiefs. You're built to play outdoors where your stadium is. You're better in November and December. Is it fair that you have to go play in the dome? You have to go play the Indianapolis Colts or whatever NFC, the New Orleans Saints in the dome? Yeah. Where they have home field. I mean, that's what they're used to.
Football,
that's what they're built to.
See,
no, football is played to be both inside and outside. So I'm good with it being outside in the elements. Let it rain. Let it snow. Let it blow. Let's find out who the toughest son of a guns. I'm going to say
so
something
else.
But you have to believe it.
All right, so don't play inside in the dome either. We'll get
no,
to take
I'm
that
fine with I'm fine with either.
Play it outside.
I'm fine with either.
Play it
it's
outside.
Football,
play
Pete.
It outside in the warm weather. Play it in San
play
Diego.
Everywhere.
Play it in Phoenix.
Play it everywhere.
I mean, no, Phoenix inside, but play. You can open it up outside.
I'm
Phoenix.
Fine with it.
Or,
guess
don't
what?
Play it in a dome, but don't play it outside in the
that's
cold,
because
miserable,
you know
wet, because, windy, crappy
no,
conditions.
It's football, Pete. That's where the game
really?
Is played. Yes, it is.
So it's so you want to go. You want to take a team. Let's take, and I'm going to use. Let's say San Diego. was in the Air Coryell days, okay? They threw the ball over the place, right? Now, they didn't earn the right to play their playoff game at home. They had to go to Cincinnati and play in the minus 18 or whatever.
That's not fair. Maybe we should make them.
No. They, because you know why? Cincinnati earned the right to host that game. That's why the championship game was in Cincinnati. The Super Bowl is a neutral site. Nobody earns the right to play there.
Is it really neutral, though, if you have to play a team that plays all their games in the dome?
We're not talking about domes. We're talking about outside. We can eliminate domes altogether, too, if you want to.
So if it's a hot weather team, is it fair that you have to go to the
heat? Because if it's hot and 70 degrees in Miami on a nighttime game, it's going to be 65 in February. That's hot.
Miami could be hot.
Okay, Tony. Is it in February in Miami at nighttime? It's 65 degrees.
Is it an advantage?
No, it's not an advantage. So the bottom line is, you get a win game. And I'm not talking about snow, because snow is an advantage to the offense. People think that's not true, but it is.
No, absolutely, because it makes it harder to cover
and
guys.
Pass rushers can't get up the field because you see your pass block in the snow, right? Yeah. Wind. Wind, wind, wind. And not just wind in the warm weather. Wind in the cold weather, for whatever reason, because you can't hold the ball that well, is worse than wind in the hot weather.
It's football. Then go play another sport.
No.
Go do something else. It's football. Let it be done, because guess what? You know, I know why you don't want – you're against this.
Why?
Because you're a Peyton Manning lover, and you're afraid, after watching last night, that it might not work out so well if the Broncos have to play out in cold weather.
I wouldn't want to see Drew Brees in that.
Tom Brady had no problem. He threw for 340
yards. I wouldn't want to see Drew Brees.
Tom Brady threw for 340. No problem.
I don't want to see Drew Brees outside either. Tom Brady threw for 340 once Dominique Rogers-Cromartie went out of the game, and they had nobody back there who could cover anybody.
I thought the wind was in cold. We can't throw the ball. It's too cold.
It is too cold.
Mommy, I'm cold. Can I get some blankies?
Just, it shouldn't have an impact on the game.
Oh, my toes are. Will you rub my toes?
It shouldn't have an impact on the game. You should never have a game be decided.
Do you have any hot chocolate and marshmallows I can get?
Oh, that's right. You were the offensive lineman that was dumb enough to play in the cold with your sleeves.
No, I never wore sleeves.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
That's just dumb.
Pete, you're just not tough.
So freezing to death makes you dumb.
I didn't freeze to death. I'm still here. I'm alive.
Let me get this right real quick. Not wearing sleeves in the cold weather makes you tough.
Made me feel tough.
I look at it and go, that's just dumb. And every offensive lineman does it. It's not just you.
I don't really care what anyone else does. My point is this. Listen,
why did you not wear sleeves?
Because I didn't like it. I didn't feel comfortable.
Were you cold?
At the start of the game, maybe a little bit. Once the game got going, I was fine.
Would you have been warmer if you had sleeves on?
I don't know.
Yeah, of course you would.
What am I going to wear, like thermal long
yes.
underwear? No.
Cover up your arms.
Listen,
doesn't make you tough.
Your problem is you went to high school in Miami. You only played football in a place that was always warm. You're not.
I went to college in Arizona. I hate the cold. It's cold here. Thursday it's going to be freezing. I hate it.
I know you're not very tough.
I'm very tough, but
you're not very tough.
The cold has nothing to do with tough.
And you don't like the fact that certain guys can't play in that. I like it. I like the fact that Tom Brady, put him anywhere, baby. Put him in the dome. Put him outside. Put him in the rain. Put him in the freezing. Put him in the wind. That dude plays football.
By the way,
Aaron Rodgers, I don't care if it's blowing 100 miles an hour and freezing cold. That dude suits up and gets going.
By the way, I'm tough, and if I had been your size, I'd have been playing next to you.
Hey, now listen carefully.
At the tail end of my career,
I'm gonna pour some gasoline on your fire for a second. So I'm on your side on this one for a minute. You know, the one counter to that is that they aren't going to play a lot of them up there. And one of the greatest games in the history of the NFL is the Ice Bowl.
That's right.
I mean, that's the one that the NFL hangs its hat on from the Lombardi era.
Stick that in your pipe and smoke that.
So you can get...
Bob Hayes didn't take his hands out of his warmers.
Yeah, because he was from Jacksonville and he liked it where it was warm.
Wait a second.
What I'm saying is...
Last night's game was a good game for people to... When you look at it, they came back from 24 down. The Patriots won that game. Brady had a good game. It wasn't a well-played game. That wasn't a good game.
Well, and I don't think that the
football is good.
I wasn't there for the Ice Bowl.
In a game.
I wasn't there for the Ice Bowl, obviously, but I've done some research on it. I've watched it, and that wasn't the greatest played game either. You know, they were chipping off ice and trying to get through there, but it was one of those games that's, you know, part of the legend of the NFL.
I think part of that is because we romanticize that stuff. It's just like the Tuck game. I mean, the Tuck game is part of Tuck rule game is part of the legend of the NFL. Now it was played in snow, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was last night. Just because there's fumbles doesn't mean it's a bad game.
You can't hold the ball.
It's part of football, Pete.
No, it's not part of it. It doesn't have to be. Yeah, right. It can be part of football in the regular season. If you're playing in your stadium, it's a home game. But if it's a neutral site game, you shouldn't be playing those games in that kind of condition.
You're wrong.
Do you know, I think you're both right, and I'm not just trying to play peacemaker here. No, seriously. I agree with Pete. When it comes to the championship
game. Take a stand. Stop being so – I mean, you're like the politicians I watch on TV.
God, because you've been so nice to me tonight. because I'm taking a stand that you agree with. I agree with Pete to a degree because I do think that the championship game should be decided by the best football players playing in the best conditions. But I also agree with you. It's a game about tough guys, and a game in a cold weather with the snow and the ice occasionally makes it fun and builds the history and the legend and the lore of the league, and that's always important.
So let me ask you a question.
Hey, this doesn't sound like the music from the Pac-12 South champions.
Oh, gosh. Let me ask you a question.
You better find it real quick.
Let me ask a question.
You got Arizona State?
Can you turn this off so I can ask a question? I'm going to do a little test here. Player A, player B. Player A is a quarterback. Player B is a quarterback. Player A can play at a high level in any condition. Player B plays at a little bit higher level when it's perfect conditions, but plays much worse when it's poor conditions. Who's the better player?
So you're saying Tom Brady's better than Peyton Manning?
No, because I'm not going to do that to Peyton because it's unfair. The guy's tough as nails. He's playing with a fused neck and
his ankle is.
I'm not convinced it was just the arm. I mean, it's hard to step into stuff. He has high ankles. I mean, no, I'm not. This has nothing to do with Tom Brady or Peyton Manning. That's not fair to Peyton. I think Peyton's one of the greatest players of all time, and I think he can play in cold weather. He's proven his whole career. Injuries might be preventing him not to play at the same level he has in the past. So I'm not doing that to him. I'm just saying player A, player B. Who's better?
Player A.
Even though player B can do it at a little bit higher level if he's in a dome or in warm weather?
Well, to my way of thinking, but then I'm a Tom Brady guy. I mean, I like Tom Brady as
so
the best
Drew Brees doesn't play as well outside.
Player A is a better player. Player A, you want player A on your team before player B because no matter what the circumstance is, player A is going to get it done.
Yeah, player A didn't get it done since 2004, and he's had plenty of opportunities to get it done.
So
player A doesn't get it done when he's got a pass rush in his face. All right. I mean,
none of the players do.
Well, see, Tony, you can do it every way imaginable. Peyton Manning has won a Super Bowl since Tom Brady's won one, in case anybody's wondering.
And Tom Brady's won three.
Right, but
In my opinion, the four best quarterbacks in football are Brady, Breeze, Manning, and Rodgers.
Right.
If I had to list those of guys I want on my team, I want Rodgers because of his age, Brady, Breeze, Manning.
Well, right now, because of Manning, yeah, because he's breaking down.
In their primes. Age is no.
Right, in their prime.
No issue. I want Brady, I want Rodgers, I want Manning, then I want Breeze.
I want Manning, then Rodgers, then Brady, then Breeze.
You're crazy.
All right, are we done?
Yeah, I won again.
Well, you didn't.
Yeah, I did.
Joe, who won? Yeah, the callers are all upset. I mean, it was lit up.
You didn't win. You didn't win. You lost again. They feel sorry for you because they know you're an offensive lineman who played with no sleeves on and you can't be that bright, so I won.
I'll finish it with this. I'm looking forward to the Super Bowl this year in February.
So I won.
No, but I don't want to see it every year in the cold weather.
I didn't say every year. I like it rotating.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm fine
again,
with that.
Again, though, just let me finish with this. You really think playing in the cold means you're a tough guy? Seriously.
No.
That thinking, because I got that last night. I sent out this tweet and I got it last night. Everybody's like.
Not physically tough, mentally tough, yes. Because you're able to play in any element and it doesn't bother you.
All right, play in the middle of the desert in 100 degree heat. See
I had to. I did.
Okay,
that's right. I played in Arizona.
Yeah,
that's
I did.
Right.
Anything else you want to do?
Pac-12 South champions, by the way. If they win in Arizona, you know what they'll be doing this year? Hosting the Pac-12 championship game.
And then they'll get blown. They'll get beat again by Stanford, like they did the first time.
Not in Tempe, I don't think.
Pete, come on. You know better than that.
Claim victory?
I always win.
Claim victory?
Winner, winner, winner.
All right. Consistency.
He's going to eat another chicken dinner.
Consistency is sustainability, folks. You're listening to the news next on News Talk WOKV, now on 104.5 FM and on AM 690. All right. Welcome back. Jaguars Monday with Pete Prisco, Tony Buscelli, and you can join us, 355-NFL-1. We haven't really gotten to the phones tonight because the conversation's been hot and heavy inside the studios here. Let's grab Craig from the South Side first up. Hello, Craig. How are you?
Hey, Brian. I'm doing well. Thank you so much. You guys sound great. I want to start by apologizing to Joe, and, well, he's got to run the processing, and I realize that Tony's microphone is going to take a beating for what I'm about to say. But I just don't think the Super Bowl is about the whole, hey, we're men, we can play in sleet, snow, rain. I don't think it's about that anymore. And I appreciate the sentimentality going back to the Ice Bowl in the day. But guys, that's not what the Super Bowl's about anymore.
What's it about then, Craig?
These guys, Tony.
What's it about, Craig?
The big guys that are spending $3.5 million for a 30-second spot, all of the sponsors, they're the guys that can afford the tickets to go to the actual game, be there, blah, blah. It's a big party for them. Here's where I think
you're Craig, you're wrong. Guess what? You know why? Hold on, Craig. Craig, you want to know why they spend all that money? You want to know why they spend corporate dollars to advertise at the Super Bowl? You want to know why they pay the big dollars to go? Because it's the best football teams in the entire world playing the game. It's about the game. The only reason anyone spends any money is because of the game.
Yeah, but he's talking about the whole all the stuff that goes on around the game.
Guess what? They're going to pay whatever it costs
I bet you don't get as much.
You're crazy.
You get we'll find New out. York money will go.
That's my whole point. You're going to get just as much. You're wrong, Craig. Sorry. Next.
Well, you just like a CopyFax face-off.
Next.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Before we go to the next one, I just want to tell you real quick. I hosted the Taste of the NFL that the Jaguars did in October, and I sat with Wayne Kozlowski, who's the founder of that event, and it's become one of the big events. Have you been?
No.
Taste of the NFL, have you been?
No.
It's where they bring a chef from every city, represents a team, and they cook dinner. It's for charity, for raising money. Jacksonville does it for the Second Harvest Food Bank. And he was telling me about the plans that they have for the Super Bowl in New York and what they're – just their one party, what they're doing. As you can imagine, New York restaurateurs, some of the best.
Great.
I mean, it's going to be an amazing evening on a boat.
Everyone will be there but Craig.
Well, I don't know.
Craig's going to go.
I'm saying is I think –
And
that,
you.
I think for Craig's –
I don't think
for Craig's
go.
Benefit, I think there are a lot of people who are going to have an amazing time at the Super Bowl because of all the opportunities that exist in a city like Manhattan. And I don't know whether it's going to work logistically. I mean, there's places like Miami's not a great city logistically.
No, bad.
Arizona's not a great place logistically, right? We'll find out about New York long term whether it works or not. I think the Super Bowl is going to be intriguing. I like the idea of the cold weather in this one. Just it'll be interesting to see.
And watch out for the icebergs on that boat.
We're going to leave it at that. 355-NFL-1. Tracy is next. She joins us from Green Cove Springs. Hello, Tracy. He. Tracy's in Green Cove Springs. Sorry.
Wow.
Sexist on my
part. Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it.
No worries.
Tracy.
First, I want to say Manning, Brady, Breeze, and then Rodgers, only because I've seen Manning walk down the field so many times in two different teams now and orchestrate wins and blowouts and comebacks as good as anybody ever.
I'll take them all.
If he had to pick one, it'd have to be Manning.
That's like asking Tony to choose between chocolate chip and what? Oatmeal raisin, peanut butter, sugar cookies, whatever they were serving on the plane to London.
Just put two desserts out there. It's very difficult.
You pick them both.
All right, Tracy, what's your point?
As far as the Super Bowl goes, I've been blessed enough in my life to see football games in many arenas. I went to Lambeau in December. And it was snowing vertically. I'm born and raised in Florida. And I got to tell you, there's nothing like an experience watching a football game with snow blowing down the field in Lambeau. I've never seen anything as good as that, and it's a great time. So if the Super Bowl happens to fall in New York and it's a blizzard, great, go get it. I love it. I think it makes for a great game. I think it spices it up, and I think it keeps the fans watching and gives them something to look forward to rather than, you know, Miami or Hawaii where, you know, you've always got sunshine and 80 degrees.
Appreciate the call, Tracy.
Thanks, Tracy.
You want to weigh in?
By the way, real quick, Brandon Browner is denying Mike Silver's report.
I saw that.
Boy, I tell you what, he better be right.
All right, let's grab Rob. Do you want to take this call from Rob?
Or both.
Mike Silver better be
tough
right.
Tough guy? You want to take this call from Rob?
What's he say?
Well, we'll find out. Hello, Rob. How are you?
Fine. And yourself?
We're good. Thank you.
I must say, I listen to the show all the time.
You sound very serious.
Listen to the show all the time, and I respect your opinions. I only have one comment to make, and I'm a Jaguar fan from the beginning, and I just think sometimes that Tony overrides the show and takes control when somebody doesn't finish their sentences to allow them to get their point out. Sometimes I feel like I'm listening to Bill O'Reilly.
You're exactly right. So what's your point?
Rob, you're just feeding the
Rob,
ego.
What's your point?
And like Bill O'Reilly, he's wrong a lot.
It's a very effective strategy, and it's worked well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he gesticulates wildly, his arms going in every direction.
So do you have a point to your call?
My point is maybe let
Well, you're wrong. Thank you very much for calling. Call back
form.
Later.
What we do with Tony when we want to win is we bring in the food. And when the food starts rolling in, we get a word in.
His first dinner, you mean.
All right. Rob, we certainly appreciate the phone call. 355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351. Let's take our final break, come back, and wrap up Jaguars Monday from the HennityAutos.com studio inside Everbank Field. You're listening to Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennityAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
All right, what do we got? 12, 13 minutes left in the program with Pete and Tony. You can join us 355-NFL-1, but you better be good or otherwise Joe is not going to bother putting your name on the screen.
Well, we have one more topic to talk about before we take any calls.
Okay.
Another area where Pete is dead wrong. A little bit of a controversy last night at the coin flip of the overtime game. New England wins, and Belichick, smartly in my opinion, doesn't take the ball but takes the direction, so they have the wind with them, and Denver has to play into the wind. It worked.
It worked.
It was the right call.
It worked.
It did work.
How'd it work?
Denver didn't score and had to kick the ball.
Well, how did it work? They won the game on a muffed punt. How did it work?
It works. The only judgment.
It would have worked if they held them three and out. They got the ball back, went and won with a field goal.
Worked.
It didn't work.
It worked because.
It's stupid.
It was not stupid.
It's stupid. You don't give the ball. Because the only way the game ends is if they go down and score a touchdown.
No, that's not true.
How else could it end?
Safety. Oh.
Okay. Defensive points. But I'm saying for the offense, the only way is it.
But Denver wasn't driving Denver was not going to drive the field and score into that win.
Well, they sure did. They sure did to make it 31-31. You wouldn't know. You went to bed.
No, I remember that.
Okay. It was 31-24. And what did they do? They drove the ball 80 yards to go tie the game.
I thought it was the right call.
It was stupidity at its finest, just like when he was fourth and jackass in
Indianapolis. I agree with you there. That was a bad call.
Okay? And you don't ever give a team a chance to win the game. Why not? Okay, say you're playing with the win. You kick off to the win. Right?
Yes.
You get the ball. You take the ball. That's your ball. You got to go into the win. If your quarterback just pierced the win with the football, right? Take the ball! You take the ball. Your quarterback just scored a bunch of points going into the win. You take the ball.
I'd have been fine with him taking the ball, but it's not a bad call to take the win.
It's idiotic. You take the damn ball. That was stupid. It was Belichick arrogance at its finest. And it didn't work because he flipped the field. He got 2-3 first downs, I think, and then punted. And Welker dropped the pass that would have given him
No, he dropped. It wouldn't have been a first down. He was still
but
short.
But he would have been fourth and
he
short.
Still was
and then
short.
Jack would have had to stand and make one of his patented decisions.
He would have gone for it.
He would have gone for it, right?
He would have been wrong.
Right. Oh, it would have been at the 35, though. He would
no,
have
it wasn't all the way to the 35.
Yeah, it would have been. I'll look it up. He would have been right by the 30.
No. It was about the 40.
But the bottom line is he flipped the field. Belichick made an arrogant Bill Belichick, I'm Bill Belichick decision, and it cost
him.
There's another one. Here's another one that got a lot of controversy this week. Mike Smith got heat for Thursday night.
I don't remember what.
2.5 minutes to go in the game.
Right.
He had a 4th and 15 and sent the field goal from like the 30-yard line or 32-yard line, 33-yard line, sent the field goal kicker on, and he yanked it. He had 3 timeouts. People say he should have gone for it on 4th and 15. I totally disagree with that.
Go for him, 4th and 15. What was the score of the game? I don't remember.
It was, they were down.
They lost 17-13.
They were down 4. So his thinking was, kick the field goal. You have your 3 timeouts and a 2-minute warning. You stop them, get the ball back, and then you go get a field goal to win it. I agree, too. We agree.
Yeah.
But some stat heads came out and said, 4th and 15 conversion is 20-something percent, this and this and this. And, you know, I don't buy that because you could take the – for example, if somebody converts a 4th and 15 in Hail Mary time, that's not a – that's a Hail Mary. Or somebody converts – okay, you have a 4th and 15 play. You go for it. You're down 8 in your own end with 35 seconds left, and you convert that. They're playing off, so it doesn't – you know what I mean? It's a different type of situation. It's totally indifferent.
Well, the other one was Andy Reid. He botched the end of that game.
Timeout. Called a timeout. Clock. Here's another one. The Bears in the third quarter, down 24-14, have a fourth and goal from the one. What do?
I go for it.
Not me. You make it a touchdown game.
Go for it.
Why?
Fourth and one, the percentages are you're going to get
you
it.
You need. They didn't get it.
I know, but
so
percentages
then they
are.
Needed, so they still needed two scores. You make it a one-score game always.
I would have gone for it.
Always make it the one-score game.
I disagree with you there.
Well,
percentages say that you're
gonna entitled to a wrong opinion again.
No, I think I'm right on this one.
No, you're not.
The percentages back me up.
The percentages don't back you up. The percentages say...
The percentages on fourth and one is you're going
to
get it.
Tony, the whole idea of
coaching, wrong, Pete.
Situational coaching is to put yourself in a position to win the game. If you don't make that, you can't win the game.
It's the third quarter.
Late in the third quarter. I mean, you still can, but you want to make it a one-score game always. That's the goal. Make it a one-score game.
You go for it there because even if you don't get it, you get a defensive stop, you still have great field
position.
Okay,
here's the other one. Say you're up seven in that situation.
See how he changes it?
I'm right. No. I'm putting you another. You say you're up seven. Because I think the other side of it is you always go up two scores. Say you're up seven in that situation and it's fourth and goal at the one late in the third quarter. What are you doing?
Fourth and one from the one, I'm going for it.
You're not kicking a field goal to go up 10.
No, I'm going for it.
That is why he will never be a head coach in the National Football League. But then again, let me correct myself.
There are a lot of
they
coaches.
They all botched the situational coaching. Everyone's
wrong but you, Pete.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, okay.
You know what they should do? They should hire a guy to stand next to him and tell him the right way to do it. Seriously. Because they get caught up in the emotion of it. They don't think about the timeout.
No, a lot of teams do, and the statistics will tell you to go for it there.
The statistics can be misleading in a lot of ways. You got to look at situations,
too. On fourth and one, if you're 75% of the chance you're going to make it, you go for it.
You go up two scores. You're wrong.
With him on that one. For the Bears situation, you're down 10. You got to eat into it.
Right. You got to get the field goal somewhere.
Yeah. But it's the third quarter.
But at some point, you got to get the field goal.
Two drives into it. In the fourth quarter, well, maybe I change my mind a little bit, get a little more aggressive. But in the third quarter, I'm trying to eat into the lead.
Right. Okay. You're both wrong.
No, he's wrong. He's wrong again, and he won't admit it. Why don't you ever admit you're wrong? Because you know you're wrong.
I've only been wrong once.
You've been wrong a lot.
When was that?
I don't remember.
I don't either. Yeah. You're shattering my image.
He won't admit he's wrong. He's been wrong about the Steelers.
Bob's up next. He's out by the Intercoastal Waterway. Hello, Bob. Welcome to the show. Good luck.
Hey, I got two plays that I have questions about from yesterday's game. One is maybe you can explain very easily. The Texans were running back a kickoff, and there was a penalty called on the Texans, but no yards were assessed. And the second one is when we punted to the Texans, and our man's feet were either in the end zone or touching the end stripe, and he pushed the ball back before it crossed the plane. Why was that called a touchback?
The second one's easy.
Yeah.
You have to reestablish in the NFL. If you go into the end zone, you have to come back and reestablish yourself in the field of play before
both feet before you can
down the punt. That's just the rule.
And in review and in replay, he didn't. He didn't even have one that was clearly done.
The other one is I don't remember that play happening.
Yeah, I don't recall it either.
In the Dallas game, it did happen where they called for a fair catch. The Giants, he muffed it. He bobbled it. The Giants hit him. They threw a flag. It's a penalty, unnecessary roughness because the fair catch individual is allowed to, even if he muffs it, if he bobbles it, to catch it cleanly, and there's no penalty. I mean, there's no yardage. It's a penalty to ensure there's no transfer of the ball.
If he bobbles it, he can reach it. If it's within his reach to grab it again and make the catch again, he can.
Right.
He can't go diving for it.
There's no yardage. Right. It's a penalty, but there's no yardage.
You know, I'm thinking about the penalty that it was on the Texans for holding, and it was coming right to left, Tony, and it was in the third quarter, I think.
Yeah, they went half the distance.
After the field goal. Yeah, they went half the distance to the goal line, so they did march off. They went from the 17
from the 15 to the 7. Half the distance to the goal.
Was it the 7?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So they did march it off. It was holding against the Texans.
Okay, well, on the punt that was deflected on about the 1 yard line or thereabouts, I've heard that discussed by some pretty knowledgeable NFL coaches within the last month, and they contended that it doesn't matter where the player is, it's where the ball is.
Well, they're wrong.
That's what confused me.
They're wrong, yeah. They're wrong.
Now, the rule is different in college. It's like when you bat the ball out.
But you can't have your feet in the end zone. You can cross the goal line and throw it back
in. No, but I'm saying, like, if you're trying to down a punt, in college it's the ball. In the NFL, it's your feet.
Right. But we should, for those people who are listening who maybe weren't following it, Demetrius McCray actually was standing in the end zone and then attempted to get out of the end zone to bat the ball. And it was while his feet were not yet established that he hit it. The rule is that you can't be the first person to touch it unless you reestablish.
Right?
So there you go. Appreciate the phone call. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Thoughts on tonight's game? San Francisco goes all the way. Boy, they have had a brutal travel schedule, right? They go all the way back across the country. They were just in New Orleans. They were just in London. Now they're in Washington, D.C. to take on a seemingly dysfunctional Redskins
bunch. Kill them.
I think they kill them, too. If they don't, that's a real indictment of the 49ers, to me, tonight.
I agree.
This is the two quarterbacks that we all, well, not me, but a lot of people, not you, but a lot of people were putting up on that pedestal. This is RG3 and Colin Kaepernick. Oh, my God, the next great thing. Neither one of them has been.
Not this year.
No. And it all goes back to eventually you have to go to learn to play on that spot. I don't care who you are, you're going to have to learn to play on the spot.
By the way, they're both still running the read option, too.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they are.
Very little.
It's still in the game.
Very little.
It's still in the game plan, Pete. Well, I was right about that as well.
No, you were not. It's very little, and that's the reason why they're not good quarterbacks. The reason they're not good quarterbacks is because the crutch is gone.
Okay, how many times will the read option be called tonight?
Called?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, how many times will the quarterback run with it?
No, the read option.
Read option is the pistol formation is not the read option. The read option is when he pulls it and runs with it.
No, the read option is he reads the defensive end.
How many times
end.
Is he going to run with it?
Doesn't matter. He's going to read the defensive end. How many
Peyton
times?
Peyton Manning runs the read option, too, out of the pistol.
But he never keeps it, Pete.
Right. How many times are they going to keep it tonight?
It's not in the 49ers, in the Redskins game plan, how many it is called keep? The read option where they read the defensive line.
How many times will they keep it?
I don't know if they're going to keep it. It depends on how the defensive lineman plays.
If they don't keep it, if there's no threat of them keeping it and they're not keeping it, then it's just
there is a threat they're going to keep it.
Well, they're not running it as much. They're not running.
You're wrong,
one of those quarterbacks are running as much. That's why they're not as good.
What about Robert Griffin's comments that he can't take the hits? He can't keep taking the hits
that he's
been taking.
He's smart. He can't take the hits. Why would you expose that
guy? I guess what I'm saying is why would you run it with him?
Right. You can't.
And expose him to more.
It's just stupidity.
Slide. He doesn't slide.
Now, when you run the read option, you don't slide.
Yeah,
you take shots. You take shots.
Kaepernick slides all the time.
Kaepernick doesn't run it anymore.
Yes, he
run
does.
That much. Go look at his running stats. See what he's run. He hasn't run the ball that much.
Pete.
And you know what? Cam Newton, they run it a little bit. But you know when Cam Newton's the best runner? When he goes back into the
scrambles.
Pocket and scrambles. And Ron Rivera told me that in the summer. He said, we don't want him running around on those read options. But I love him running when he's scrambling.
Right.
He said, that's when he's a major threat. That's what those guys have to do. That's when they're better. I still don't want my quarterback running at all.
He's so big and strong.
Yeah, he can
a hard time.
But you know what, though?
Get hurt.
My thing with that is one day somebody's hand's going in between the helmet or whatever. You're right. You got to slide.
You got to slide.
All right. So 50-50 tonight?
No, I think I want them all.
No, I want every one of them.
All right. Good night.
Loser!